Today's teaching time is very simply titled, Good News for Unfinished People. Now, I gotta start by asking, how many unfinished people here today? Okay, a couple of you. The rest of you will find out whether you are or not. We're going to begin today with a very short scripture reading. We're only going to cover just a few verses, two of them to be clear. It's Paul's words to the Christians who lived in Thessalonica. It's in 1 Thessalonians 23 and 24. May God himself, the God of peace, and here it comes, sanctify you through and through. That's what we're going to focus on. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept timeless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and will do it. Now, I always find it's a good idea to kind of break apart a Bible verse a little bit to help us understand where we're going to be going. And so to break this verse down, we're going to start with this key little phrase, sanctify. Now, it has a wonderful Greek word, hagiazo. I like saying some Greek words, but this is hagiazo. And he says, we're going to hagiazo you, you through and through. Now, other Bible translations, depending on what you've got, some of them say he's going to sanctify you completely. Some say they're going to make you holy, hagios, which is to be set apart, different. Some say make you pure or consecrated, belonging only to him. Now, if you belong only to Jesus, should there not be some identifying characteristics that somebody would say, you know something? I think that's a Christ follower. I think that's somebody who belongs to Jesus. Or do you find out that people have no idea who you are in Christ? Well, this is a prayer for something that hasn't happened to us completely yet. We are in the process, since we are justified by grace through faith. We now live in the time we say, Lord, that's what you've done. Now work in us to clean us up, to be your children. We know this hasn't happened yet. Why? I'll tell you why I know it, because I looked in the mirror this morning and saw my face. I'm not done yet. Now, most of us don't feel very close to purification. I mean, honesty has us to admit that we've got a long way to go. And coming as it does here at the end of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, we might paraphrase this little benediction. This is kind of a closing benediction that he's praying, but I'm going to paraphrase this. And he's basically saying, Lord, I have done all I can and taught these people all I know. You've got to take over now. And unless you help them, Lord, they're not going to turn out right. I typically pray that prayer every Sunday for the gathering that I pastor. I can teach to a certain point. It happens here when Pastor Dar preaches to a certain point, or when any other pastor does that. You say, I'm going to give them what you've given me, but Lord, you're going to need to complete the process. I can only take them so far. This kind of leads me to what I'd call a layman's definition of sanctification, because that's a pretty big word. This is my definition. It's everything God does in your life and my life to make sure we turn out right in the end. And understand, God really intends for all of us, all of his children, to turn out right in the end. And that's why parents invest so much time in their kids, because they want their kids to turn out right in the end as well. After all, they've given them your lifeblood, so it matters almost more than life how your children turn out. Now, we apply that to the spiritual realm today. See, God has invested in us, if you will, the very blood of Jesus Christ, his own son. And so this process now of sanctification, to be made clean, is the divine guarantee that God's investment in us is not going to be wasted. And it's this assurance that God always finishes what he starts. He started you at birth. You were baptized. But he wants to continue growing you until he comes to come back to bring you home. See, he's going to personally see to it, because none of us are finished. Now, a number of years ago, maybe some of you remember seeing this, people were walking around wearing buttons. And on these buttons, was a kind of an indecipherable message. It was a series of letters, and it said PBPGINFWMY. Anybody ever remember seeing a button like that? I really must be old. It kind of made me wonder what those letters, PBPGINFWMY, what it meant. When I finally asked somebody, it means, please be patient, God is not finished with me yet. That's what those letters mean. Now that statement strikes me as being pretty biblical. We're not finished yet until the day God says, okay, Barry, time to come home. God's not finished with me. He's going to work on me to sanctify me even more and more. Now, Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians is really a short course on sanctification. And in these two verses, we're going to look at five different points here. They all start with a letter P. That's the way pastors preach anyway. And we're going to talk a little bit about the person. We're going to talk about the purpose. We're going to talk about the prospect. We're going to talk about the position. And we're going to talk about the promise. So let's start with the person here. It says, may God himself, the God of peace. Now, in this opening phrase, we have the guarantee of our sanctification. See, just as any contract is only worth the signature on the bottom of the paper, our sanctification is only as good as the person who stands behind it. And so Paul is using some really emphatic Greek language here. He's saying, God, it's God himself, the God of peace. That's pretty emphatic. See, here's the truth. Only God can make you better. I could preach to you for the next 4 hours. It's not necessarily going to make you better. It's only God who can do that. Now, think about this. Exercise improves your body. Therapy may help your soul. Friends may actually lift your spirits if you hang out with them. Good fortune may improve your life, your circumstances, but only God can make you better. And I would suggest that the only thing this world can do is make you bitter. Mm-hmm. Choose what you want to be, bitter or better. See, God is the author. That means he's the beginner. He's the source of all spiritual progress that you and I make. And it's kind of easy to forget this. Because in our battle against sin, we sometimes crawl into the corner and try to get better on our own. And while we said, see how nice I look, Lord. I mean, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm at church most every Sunday. I think I can probably do this all by myself. But if you ever found yourself saying that, folks, you're dead wrong. Remember the words of Jesus. This is back in John 15:5. He said, without me, you can do, anybody know the next word? Nothing. Without me, you can't do anything. Now, we recited the Apostles' Creed. I'm sure you all know the explanation of the third article. I'd have you recite it with me, but I'm going to recite it for you. Some of you know this. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but he has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. That's the expanded text of the Apostles' Creed. See, in contrast then to all of our feeble efforts we make in this life, our self-improvement kinds of things, Paul simply says, God himself, the God of peace. In other words, sanctification starts with God, and if it doesn't start there, you haven't really started at all. Let's go on to the second P, the purpose. Sanctify you through and through. Now, this phrase, through and through, translates, it's kind of an unusual two-part Greek word that combines whole plus in the end. So God has ordained that his children, that's you, that's me, all of us without exception, will be made complete or whole in the end. Now, let's be honest, we're not that way now. I mean, most of us feel fragmented. We're kind of torn in a variety of different directions. We're incomplete. We're under construction. But God intends that when we finally get to heaven, the hammers, the saws will be put away, and we're going to stand before the Lord sanctified, made holy in his sight. Now, we're not finished yet. but we will be someday. We're not completely clean, but we will be someday. We're not wholly wise, but we will be someday. One Bible commentator said that God entires the entire renovation of man and woman, of course. How many of you watch renovation shows on television? Anybody? Okay. On occasion, I have watched. Anybody remember Property Brothers, the two good-looking dudes? Okay. I used to watch that one. Not because they were good-looking dudes, because it was an interesting show. How many of you ever watched Fixer Upper? Okay. But my favorite is Love It or List It. How many of you watch that show? Love It or List It. I love that show. And I still watch it on occasion. All of these shows basically all follow the same game plan. You find a distressed property somewhere, and then you start renovating it. If all goes well, you're going to end up making a big profit. But things never go quite the way you want them to. I don't know, we're going to renovate our bathroom, the master bathroom, and I just have a feeling we're love it or list it. I'm not sure how this is going to go. Now, usually renovation projects, whatever they may be, start off with a bang. And then they begin ripping out the old walls and tearing out the old electrical wires and digging under the foundation and knocking out windows so that they can replace them with French doors or some other thing that I don't know anything about. But then the trouble hits. Somebody says, oh, man, you won't believe this, but the foundation is cracked. Or the roof has to be replaced. Or we got mold in the bathroom. But suddenly, it looks like the renovation project has turned into an absolute disaster. And guess what? They always do that right before the commercial. Because you want to go back and find out whether this property can be turned around. And then once the crisis is over, they can finish the renovation. But here's what I've learned from watching those shows. Renovation always takes longer and costs you more than you expected. Some of you who have remodeled things in your house probably go, yeah, been there, spent that. See, nothing is as easy as it looks. And if you think houses are hard to renovate, human life is even more difficult. This is a job so difficult that only God would attempt it. Now, some of us take 25 years in this process. Some take 30. Some take 40. Some of us take, I won't tell you how many years I've been at it, but it'll be 80 in September, 50 years or more in the renovation project. I mean, God eventually says, and I kind of look forward to this, I don't know whether you do, but someday God is going to say, Barry, come on up here, I'll finish the job where working conditions are better. I look forward to that day. Now today, you and I, even as I look out at you, we're all kind of holy, if you will, in spots. But when God gets done with us, we will be holy through and through. Now here's the third P. It is the prospect. Your whole spirit, soul, and body, he says. See, this phrase tells us the extent of our sanctification. What was he going to clean up? Paul wants us to know God intends to renovate the entire person in all of its parts. Nothing will be left out. Nothing will be overlooked. Everything will be made perfect in his sight. So let me ask you this question. Suppose you could change anything about yourself. Where would you start? Would you start on the outside? Would you be skinnier, or taller, or shorter, or better looking? Would you change the color of your eyes? Change the color of your hair, or get some? Would you change your teeth, or would you change your legs, or would you change your bulges? Maybe a light touch-up, or would you want a complete makeover? And would we even recognize you if you did all that stuff? But see, as hard as it is to make change on the outside, it seems harder to make the change on the inside. If there is anything we know at all about human nature, it's this, that people change slowly, if at all. And think about the struggles in your own life.
You all had them, I'm sure.
What would you change about yourself if you could? What would you change about yourself if you could do it? Would it be an impatient spirit? Or how about a critical tongue? Would it be envy of those people around you? Is that what you'd want to change? Or would it be a spirit of discontentment? Or would it be a lingering resentment towards someone or something? Or would it be a lust that you just simply can't seem to shake? Or would it be financial mismanagement? Or would it be a guilty conscience? Or how about overbearing stubbornness? Would it be a judgmental spirit? Or a quick temper? Would it be a profound discouragement or the inability to appreciate life? Now, at here, I could say, am I getting any closer to anybody here? Some of you are saying, now he's preaching to me. I'm in here, by the way. If you don't know where I'm at, talk to my wife. But see, here's the good news. Someday, we will all be changed. All that stuff that drives us nuts today is going to be gone forever. Here's the fourth P, the position. Blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that word blameless means to be acquitted in a court of law. You are blameless if no one can bring a charge against you. Now, that's not true of most of us. Those of us who know us best, know our weaknesses, and could testify against us, but for their kindness for us. See, God intends that when it's time for us to go home and stand before Him, He's going to say, does anyone in the whole universe know any reason why this person should not enter heaven? And at that point, there will be a loud silence as no one, not angels or demons, not the saints or the sinners, no one at all will be able to bring any charge against one of God's elect people. Now, if you read the Good News Bible, it's kind of a paraphrase. The Good News Bible says, God will sanctify us so that we are free from every fault. Or if you want the Phillips translation, kind of interesting. He wants to give us spotless integrity. See, this is God's desire for all of us. Now, none of us achieves this perfectly in this life. But better things are coming. They really are. Here's Paul's hope. When Jesus returns, Paul knows that two great things will happen for every believer. One of them is your character will be revealed, and our perfection will be complete. What a great day that'll be. But we're so far from this right now, and we kind of make progress somewhat slowly. Do you ever get discouraged about your own life? I do from time to time. Do you ever wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, what's wrong with you? I think all of us kind of do those things from time to time. See, it's easy for us to find reasons to feel guilty. I mean, what were you thinking when you said that? Or how could you be so stupid? Oh, you know better than that. Why did you lie about that? How could you treat your best friend that way? And the list kind of goes on and on from there. See, spiritual growth sometimes can be so very discouraging. That's why I'm here today to tell you, but don't worry about it, because God's not finished with you yet. It may be a slow process. It may be two steps forward and three steps back from time to time. It's kind of like climbing Mount Everest. The closer you get to the summit, the further away it seems sometimes. But God has a reason for this, because He wants us to depend on Him in everything in this life. He designed life so that it works out only when God is in charge. You see, when we try to run the show, and some of you have tried, I know I've tried, things kind of fall apart. See, if the Christian life is left up to us, we're going to fall every time. It's the only God can give us what we need to be victorious. And today we don't need to feel blameless, because we aren't blameless. See, we are in fact blameworthy. And we make things worse by what we say or do.
But God is not finished with a single person who's here today or who's watching online or who hears it later. God's not done with you yet. Don't give up. We get to the fifth P, which is the promise, because this is where we hang our hat. The one who calls you. Now, how did you get called? How did you enter into God's family? I was baptized at a Lutheran church in Lakewood, Colorado, many years ago. That's when God called me. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Maybe some of you were older than that. But the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And that phrase is all important. Our entire hope as Christ followers, both in this life and the life to come, rests completely on the faithfulness of God. His faithfulness bears the entire weight of our puny efforts in this life. It says, the one who calls us is faithful. Do you know what we are today? We are the unfinished children of God. Wouldn't that be a great name for a church? Come and worship at the unfinished children with the unfinished children of God. Or work in progress, Lutheran Church. After all, we're all under construction. And as we all know, construction is long, it's loud, it's noisy, it's messy. That's why many of us can hear the hammering and the sawing going on the inside right now. God never stops his work because there's so much work to be done. Paul, when he wrote to the Christians in Rome, Romans 8:29, says we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, think about that word predestined. I'm just going to take that word and just going to jerk it apart a little bit. Pre means what? Before. Destined means where we'll end up. And so even before our spiritual journey ever began in this life, guess what happened? God made up his mind about your destination. And I find that extremely comforting. And one day, guess what? Scripture says we're going to look like Jesus. Some of you know this story. Way back in the year 1464, there was a sculptor. His name was Agostino di Deduccio, something like that. Began working on a huge piece of flawed marble. He was trying to make a large statue of an Old Testament prophet for a cathedral that was supposed to be in Florence, Italy. And he worked on that large chunk for a couple of years and finally gave up. And some other guy by the name of Antonio Rossellino started again. He worked on it for a few years and then he quit. But it was in 1501 when a 26-year-old sculptor whose name was Michelangelo, now you know where the story is going, was kind of offered a considerate sum of money if he could produce something worthwhile from this enormous block of marble, which they called the Giant. And he began the work, and as he began, he noticed that there was a real flaw near the bottom that kind of stymied all of the sculptors to that point. And so he decided, I'm just going to take that flaw, and I'm going to turn that into a stump so that some guy can put his right leg up on it. And he worked on that marble for 4 years until he produced, most of you know, David. Now today this 17-foot statue stands on display in Florence, Italy. People come from all around the world. But the reason I tell you this is it's more than a masterpiece. It's one of the greatest works of art that's ever been produced. It has been said that there is no statue more perfect. Now, how did he do that? Let me read you what he said. In every block of marble, I see a statue as plain as though it stood before me, shaped and perfect in attitude and action. I have only to hew away the rough walls that imprison the lovely apparition to reveal it to other eyes as mine see it. Now, said in another way, this is the Barry Cole paraphrase, I cut away everything that didn't look like David. Now, let's apply this to our spirit. You're probably going, what the heck is that story all about? Well, let's apply this to our spiritual life. All of us are works in progress. We are not finished, not glorified. We are not perfected. We are not completed. We are all under construction. Now, if you've ever been to a construction site, you know it's noisy, it's messy. There's all that hammering, all of that sawing. It's hard to imagine the results, but God never stops working on us because there's always so much work to be done. I kind of picture God every once in a while as a sculptor. And he's working on a rough piece of marble. And it's a big chunk named Barry. It's kind of a hard job because this big chunk is badly marred. It's kind of misshapen. It's discolored. He's cracked in a few places. It's about the worst piece of marble in a sculpt that a sculptor could ever find. But God is undeterred, and he works patiently on the job, chipping away all the bad parts, chiseling the other parts, hard stone, stopping occasionally to polish here and there to make this better. But one day, as God is thought he's finishing this one section, he returns to the studio, to that section that he calls Barry, and he says, "What happened? It got all messed up. I thought I finished that yesterday. Who's been messing with my statue?" Me. It turns out I'm the culprit. Turns out you're the culprit. What we thought would improve things have only messed things up. But God is faithful. He patiently picks up the chisel and goes back to work. He's chipping away everything on us that doesn't somehow look like Jesus. Now, in my case, I'll be honest, he still has a long way to go. But I'm encouraged by a certain knowledge that he won't quit until he's done. See, what God starts, he will always finish. So think of those four words at the end of verse 24. He will do it. That's simple, that's direct, no qualification, no hesitation, no doubt, just four words. He will do it. Not he may, not he might, not he could, not if he feels like it, and it's certainly not if we do our part. Because if we try to do our part, we will mess the entire project up. Now, some days it feels like we're not making much progress, but that's okay because the master sculptor knows what he's doing. See, little by little, everything that doesn't look like Jesus is being removed. And one day all unfinished people will be sanctified through and through. Now we know this how. Because God always finishes what he starts. And friends, take joy in this. When God is finished with you, when God is finished with me, when God is finished with other people who call on the name of Jesus, you're going to be like Jesus. And if you can take that to the bank. Scripture says, "Faithful is he who called you, and he will do it."